All right. So how are you guys doing today?
Good.
Good. Well, Ryan's in Colorado enjoying a vacation right now, so without me.
Without us? Why would you do that, Ryan?
Yeah, Ryan should take all 130 of us to Colorado next time he goes. I'm sure that would be cheap on a family budget. If you remember last week, we're in our Set Free series, and last week we talked about being set free through surrendering, right? Right? I'm like, did I get it right here? Is it? That's right, right? Everyone's like, no, it's not what we talked about. And Ryan ended with a challenge, right? What is God asking you to surrender to him right now? Remember? Remember that? If you were here, you remember that. If not, you're like, no, I don't remember that because I wasn't here. Well, that was the challenge that he ended with last week, is what is God asking you to surrender to him right now? And that's actually a constant challenge, even though it says right now in it. It's not like God doesn't have a surrender quota. He's not like, oh, you surrendered this much? You're set for life. Good to go. Sweet. Enjoy. Every day is a take up your cross, surrender to me type thing. So I want that to still resonate with you. I want you guys to still be in that mindset of, what can I still continuously surrender? And what is God asking you to do through that? So just wanted to start with that. I have a fun story for you guys to start with, of course, because I have fun stories. So we'll start things off on a fun note. Ashley, you might want to close your ears on this one. In first grade, I had this first grade crush. Aww, and she was like the cutest first grade girl ever. Which, how many guys in this room had a first grade, like a kindergarten first grade crush? Did anyone? Come on, yeah. How many guys had like 30 first grade crushes? That's more like it, right? You guys are like, every girl I'm going to have. That's the guy's mindset when you're in. Up until about age 16, that's a guy's mindset, is every woman is mine. So I was out to get this girl. I was like, oh, she's going to be mine, my precious, my own. I was this creepy little first grade kid. I probably scared her to death. But so it ended up, and I would like, oh man, I would like follow her. I would obsess. I was a weird little first grader. I'm still weird, but some of the things have faded over time. But so after about, and I would do the first grade flirting stuff, guys, right? You know, I would throw stuff at her and try to hurt her. That's what guys do when you're in elementary school to flirt with a girl. You try to bring physical pain to her, which I don't know why. Yeah, guys are like, that's so true. Like, now that I think about it, like, why did we ever do that? You know, like, some guys still do, and I'm sorry for those guys. But so it come third grade, I think it was, we started playing a lot of kickball. At our elementary school, we had this nice new blacktop. Anybody have a blacktop that they love to play kickball on in elementary school? Okay, a few of you. I was like the kickball master, mostly because I had like this freakish growth spurt. Like, not lucky me. I looked like a spider. It was horrible. And this one day in third grade, this girl came to play kickball, and I was like, yes, my chance. Like, I am going to impress her so well. I am going to show off my kickball skills. And so I was so hyped up about this. I was like, sweet. I jumped at the front of the line. She's on the other team. I'm like, I am going to just make this kickball sore. And it's gonna be game over. She doesn't stand a chance. She's gonna be like, "Oh, John, you must be mine," you know. Because, again, logic at third, you know, at 6 or 8 years old is not very well, you know. Because women, how many of you are like, "Oh, that kickball was, you just wooed me with your kickball skills." No, that never goes through a woman's mind. But to guys, it's like, yes, if I can kick this over that fence, she will love me. Done. And so I get at the front of the line because I'm like, I'm going to make an impression. This is going to be huge. This is going to be awesome. This is going to be great. And I go to kick it. Kick it as hard. I put as much weight as I can in my foot behind that kickball straight into her face. That's a true story. I kid you not. First kick right into her face. And I remember I was just standing there like, no, anywhere else it could have gone, but right there, no. And so I'm just standing there stunned, and a couple of guys on her team are rushing her to the nurse's station because there's like blood on our face. And horrific. It was absolutely horrific for me. Because after that, it was years of me just, every time I would see her, I'd be like, I'm an idiot. Like, what have I done? I've ruined my life. Like, everything now is ruined for me. You know, and it would just be utter shame every time I would come close to her, like within any vicinity. And so it was horrific. And eventually she moved away in like fifth grade, which of course to me was like, it's because I hit her in the face with a kickball. She's moving away now. You know, I thought it was my fault, which she probably forgot about it like a week later. But to me it was something that dominated every time I saw her, every time I was around. Every time I was at the school or playing kickball, I was like, I hope I don't hit another girl in the face, you know? And so it was this thing that dominated my mindset that continuously was there on my mind. And I feel like we do that so many times with our spiritual mindset, is we don't let the past just be the past. We constantly remind ourselves, we constantly think about and obsess about past experiences, past failures, past mistakes. And we just don't let it go. And that's so true for us, isn't it? It is. Today we're going to be talking about being set free through our weaknesses, by letting go of our weaknesses. That's what we're going to be talking about. And if you have your Bible, turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to be talking about David and Goliath. Sound awesome? And that's page 158 if you have the Black Bible. Well, actually, it's not. That's just 1 Samuel. Sorry. I lied to you. What page is it? 17 is page 168. Okay? All right. So let me go ahead and read here for you. 1 Samuel 17, 1 through 8. Now the Philistines were gathered their armies for battle, and they were gathered at Socoh, which belongs to Judah, and encamped between Socoh and Azekah in Ephes Damim. And so, oh boy. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in line of battle against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, which with a valley between them. And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose weight was 6 cubits and a span, whose height was 6 cubits and a span, which, if you're not familiar with cubits, I don't know how many of you use cubits in school. Nobody? Okay. I go to ancient Bible school. That's about 9.5 feet, roughly. So that's like 2 feet taller than Shaquille O'Neal. So if that's given you a rough idea of how massive this guy is, he makes me look like an infant. So, continuing here, he had a helmet of bronze on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. That's 125 pounds. How many of you guys bench roughly around 125 pounds? Guys are probably like 500 pounds. 125 pounds, is if that's close to what you can bench, or if that's like way under or way over what you can bench, that was like his shirt, pretty much. That was what he wore as a shirt. Isn't that nuts? 125-pound shirt. He's insane. And he had bronze armor on his legs, and that's just on his chest. He had bronze armor on his legs, on his head, on his arms, and he had like a, I think it was like 60-pound javelin, like nuts, of bronze slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, which is about 15 pounds. And his shield bearer went before him. So if you get the picture, this guy is huge. He's giant. He's massive, and he's intimidating. And so let's draw that line back again to what we were talking about just a minute ago. That's kind of like some of our past experiences, some of our past failures. That looms in front of us, and we don't let it go, and that looms over us. And if we don't let go of that past experience, to us it's kind of like that Goliath that stands before us, that keeps us from these promises of God, that keeps us from these things. And let me pull up, I didn't have this ready here. Let me pull up our first point here for you. All right, here we go. You must move past your past. And here's what we're going to do. If you don't let your past die, then it won't let you live. If you don't let go of your past, it's not going to let you approach your future. It's not going to let you see God's will in your life. If you don't let your past die, it won't let you live. And if you have something to write that down, you can go ahead and write that down. But here's what I'm getting at. If you don't let that die in your life, if you don't let whatever it is that's looming in front of you like this Goliath of your past, then it's not going to let you see God's purpose in your life to its fullest. It's not going to let you live out that purpose in your life. It's not going to let you approach that. And for many of us, that's what that is. What is that Goliath in your life? So, and just like us, sometimes the Israelites cowered in the face of this. The Israelites, despite everything they've been through, about 100 years earlier, they're delivered from, about 1,000 years or 100 years. Either way, they're delivered from slavery at the hand of the Egyptians, and now they're facing something that, comparatively to the Egyptians, probably wasn't as much, and God had already given them the promise of, wherever you go, I will go with you. I will rescue you. And yet, in the face of Goliath, they just can't get over how big this guy is. And sometimes, even though we've seen God's promises fulfilled in our life, sometimes we don't realize what those promises are. We forget that God is going to provide for us. We see those failures looming in front of us. We see those mistakes from our past that we just can't let go of. And to us, we just forget God's promises altogether. Let me read the next part here, 8 through 11. And not only here, not only is Goliath intimidating because of how big he is, and he's massive, he's a huge guy, 2.5 feet taller than Shaquille O'Neal, that's a big person. I'll agree with that. But not only is he intimidating for that reason, Goliath has this bad habit of shouting insults at people. Any of you guys know people that have that bad habit? I hope not. Maybe I shouldn't have had you raise your hand. You guys are like pointing, this person has that habit. Sorry. He has this bad habit of being really loud and really insulting. And here's, it goes into it a little bit in this next group of verses, 8 through 11 if you want to read with me. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all of Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And how many of us do our past experiences do that to us? It's not just that they're, you know, that they happened. It's that constantly in our minds we're saying, "I failed. I can't do this. I'm not worth that much." And constantly there's these whispers of failure, of worthlessness in our life. And it's so true. Throughout your day, throughout your lives, throughout school, throughout the time that you're at home, you hear these things running through your mind. Why am I even trying this? Why do I even try here? I failed at this so many times. I can't conquer this. I can't get over this. I can't do this. I'm just too worthless. I'm just not strong enough. I can't do this. And we let that happen. We let those whispers happen. And let me share this with you. One of the quickest ways to forget what God says about you is to listen to what the enemy says about you. Satan is going to whisper in your ear. Satan is going to try and force those thoughts upon you and show you this Goliath in your life. And he's going to say, "You know what? You can't do this. You know what? You've failed at this. It doesn't matter what's happened before, because you're just not strong enough to take this on. You're worthless. You can't do this." And we forget. We listen to these things of "you're worthless" when we forget that you were bought with the highest price ever paid. You were bought with the blood of Christ, and we listen to these whispers in our life that say you're worthless. You forget that the God of the universe goes before you, that the God of the universe is on your side, but we listen to, "You're just not strong enough. You can't do this. You can't overcome this." We forget that Christ took our sins on the cross, and we listen to, "You know, you just can't overcome this sin in your life. You're just going to succumb to it again and again and again." And time again, these Goliaths in front of us, these past experiences, just whisper in our ear, And Satan just whispers in our ear. And he tries to tear us down. And just like the Israelites, they cowered in the face of that. They cowered in the face of this person who defied God. Even though God had provided for them time and time again. Even though God had always made a way for them, had rescued them time and time again. So be careful of that. Be careful when you hear those things whispering in your ear. And don't forget, one of the quickest ways to forget what God says about you is to focus on what the enemy says about you. I remember in elementary school, there were a few tough years for me because despite I had extremely loving parents who would constantly tell me, John, you are so good at this. You are so smart. Too smart. I was a nerd. Just heads up. I would tell people like what the acronym for DNA and stuff was in second grade. Even if you know that, don't tell anyone that because they're just going to be like, why do you know that? Like, what? But my parents would tell me all the time, you're brilliant. You know what? You are so smart. You're so good at stuff. Kickball. Thanks, Mom. And they would tell me those things. And I had one friend, and I remember one time that he told me that I was an idiot. And for so long, you know what dominated my thoughts? Not, you're so good at this. You're so smart. You're so smart. You're doing so well in your classes. You're so well at, you're doing so good at this track meet. What I let dominate my thoughts is, I'm dumb. I'm an idiot. That's what I let dominate my thoughts. Why? Because even though we've been told a million times by God, even though we'll be told a million more, that you are loved, that you are valued, that you are worth so much to him. If we hear one whisper of, you're not worth it, that's what we let dominate our thoughts. And it's true, and I know it's true. I know it's true in your life. It was true in my life. And I want you to realize that. And I want you to realize that you demean who God is and what God says about you when you give weight to those whispers. When you start listening to those whispers, you forget who the God of the universe is and what he says about you. Moving on. Let me ask you guys a quick question. How many of you would agree that God never gives us more than we can handle? How many of you would agree that God never gives us more than we can handle? All right. You're wrong. That was like a trick. I lured you into my trap. Here's why we believe this. And there's a very popular verse in 1 Corinthians that says, the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. That's true. That's absolutely true. And that's a verse that Paul writes to show us that God is always faithful and that God never leaves us to our temptations. That's absolutely true. But it does not say that God never gives us more than we can handle. In fact, the same author, Paul, writes in 2 Corinthians 1, 8 through 10, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. So what Paul says here is so important. He essentially says, we were without hope. We were outnumbered. We could not take this ourselves, and we were just about ready to throw in the towel. That's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, we had more than we can handle when we were in this province in Asia. We were far more weighted beyond what we can handle. But it's then that we realize to rely on God. So here's the key thing. So many times, and here's the reason we believe this, because we've been taught it. We've been told time and time again in our Christian, in our church circles, from preachers, God does not give you more than you can handle. You know what? With God, you will never have more than you can handle in life. And you know what? That's why when you're given more than you can handle, we are so confused. And that's why so many people in life, when they experience some trial that's more than they can handle, they are like, why, God? Why is this happening to me? I thought you said this would never happen. God says, I never said that. In fact, I want you to have a little bit more than you can handle sometimes. Why? Because it's then that you should realize it's not your strength, it's mine. It's then that you should realize we are weak. We are. That's true. In the grand scheme of things, we are weak. We succumb to our sin. We are weak. But God is strong. And what Paul is saying is, even though I couldn't handle this situation, God used it to show me that He can handle this situation, that He can overcome in this situation. And so I want you to remember that as we jump back to David and Goliath here quick. So remember how massive Goliath was? You guys remember? Pretty massive. Big guy. I've said it a few times, like 2.5 feet taller than Shaquille O'Neal. Huge, right? And Goliath is this, you know, looming character right in front of the Israelites. So think about in that camp, some people were probably thinking, in the Israelite camp, I can imagine some people, some of the Israelites were probably thinking, you know what, why would God let this happen to us? If God loves us, how can He let us? How can He let us, you know, face Goliath like this? How can He let us face the Philistines like this? You know, as they're whispering in their tents, cowering, or they're probably saying, you know what, somebody told me that God would never let us have more than we can handle. So why did He let this happen? They're probably thinking that. They're probably whispering that. You know what? Saul is thinking, this is more than I can handle right now. I can't deal with this. The Israelites are thinking that. David's brothers are thinking, this is more than I can handle. David himself, it was more than he could handle. That's a fact. In fact, you know what David said to Goliath? David did not say, I come to defy you myself. David did not say, you have your sword and spear, I have my little, what do you call that? Slingshot, thank you. I'm like, what is that? I'm like, Nerf. No, it's not a Nerf. He didn't have Nerf. He didn't say that. He didn't say, you have your sword and spear, I have my slingshot. You know what David said? You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. David, the reason God used David in this situation against Goliath isn't because David was equipped for it, isn't because David was the strongest Israelite or the most prepared to face Goliath. He used David because God wanted to make an example of, you are weak, but I am strong. And because David understood that. David understood when he came against Goliath, he was afraid. I'd be afraid. If you were a little shepherd boy coming against a trained soldier who was that massive, wearing a shirt that weighed 125 pounds, I would be terrified. And David was probably terrified. But he understood something. He understood it's not on my own strength that I'm going to prevail against this person. It's not by my strength that I'm going to overcome this. It's because of God. And that's why he says, I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. In the name of the God of the armies of Israel, I come against you. And that is so true, guys. In our life, we try to take on so many things. And we try to fight those things in our life. And then we turn our back on God when it doesn't work out. We turn our back on God when we are just overwhelmed beyond what we can bear. And God uses those times because he wants us to understand something very crucial. God wants us to understand in our weakness, we must rely on God. We are weak, but God is strong. And then immediately this point as well. Though sometimes we are overwhelmed, God will always overcome. Always. And we forget that sometimes. Let me share with you guys, how many of you guys know the song by Chris Tomlin? I forget the name of it, but it goes, the God of Angel Armies. I'm not going to sing. That would... Okay, some of you guys. How many of you guys know the backstory behind that, the biblical reference to that? I love the biblical reference to this, and I've heard a few people talk about it, but I love it because it's another picture of this. We are weak, God is strong. It's another of this... another picture of this, we just have to rely on God because sometimes we are going to be overwhelmed. You're going to be overwhelmed. Life is overwhelming for us. That's just one of the side effects of sin. And I hope I'm not the first to share that with you. But if I am, don't let that discourage you because you are going to be overwhelmed in life. There are going to be times that you are stressed out, that you are packed full more than you more than you feel like you can carry. There's going to be a weight on your shoulders. There's going to be stress, and there's going to be hard times. But never, ever think that you're alone in it. There's a reason that Christ says, my yoke is light. Your burden may be heavy, but mine isn't. So carry my yoke. That's why Christ says, carry it with me. I want to carry it side by side with you. There's a reason behind that. But let me share this story with you from, it's from 2 Kings 6, 8 through 23. I'm not going to read the whole scripture. I'm just going to kind of paraphrase a little bit. But it's this story, the angel army story, and it's about the prophet Elisha. And at the time, this nation called Aram is warring with Israel. And the problem, though, for Aram, the king of Aram, is that Elisha is this prophet who God is giving visions of every move that Aram's armies are going to make. And so Elisha is relaying that to the king, and it's kind of screwing up the whole plan for Aram. Because they're like, okay, well, now everything that we try to do, you guys counterattack because you know already what's going to happen. So the king of Aram, knowing that Elisha is the reason that he's losing this war, sends this secret army to this city where Elisha is staying, Elisha and his servant. And it's this massive army with chariots and soldiers that approaches this army by night and surrounds it. And in the morning, Elisha's servant gets up, comes outside, and he sees this army, this massive army just surrounding them, chariots and soldiers and spears, and freaks out. I'd probably freak out, you know. I just came out to get water and go to the bathroom, but there's like 100 soldiers, so I'm kind of scared. It's pretty freaky. And Elisha says to him, hey, don't worry, chill out. Excuse me, Elisha, there's like thousands of soldiers out here, and you're not freaking out? He's like, no, I'm not freaking out. And Elisha prays for the eyes of his servant to be opened. And as he does it, his servant realizes that the army that's surrounding them is surrounded by an even larger army with chariots of fire. And that's where this God of angel armies comes from. But I think it's such a great picture of, we are overwhelmed sometimes. His servant was overwhelmed. He's like, we're going to die today. You know, like, we're surrounded by an army and there's nobody here to help us out. That's overwhelming. Now, you don't literally have armies like that surround your school and you're like, oh, crud, you know, like, people are going to come in and kill us. But you're overwhelmed all the time. I know you are. You're overwhelmed with homework. We had an experience this weekend that was kind of overwhelming with homework, overwhelmed with studying, overwhelmed with friendships and stress and family and all kinds of things that you're overwhelmed with in life. And we just need to realize that God is an overcomer. God knows where you are in life. God knows what you're dealing with. God knows the situation that you're in, that you feel overwhelmed. And it is. That's such a powerful truth. And I want to stop for just a second. And every time I teach, I want to add just one little counter note that's like, I know there's at least one or two of you that are like, okay, so what you're saying is next time I have a math test and I feel overwhelmed, pen down, take it, God, you got this. Not what I'm saying. You're like, man, I was planning on doing that on my next math test. I failed it, why? You're supposed to take it, God. Not what I'm saying. God puts you through those things for a number of reasons, and he wants to build in you characteristics that are godly. He wants to build in you characteristics that reflect him, that reflect his nature. He wants to build in you courage and patience and peace and the fruits of the Spirit, ultimately. But he also wants you to know that in our weakness, we have to rely on God. In our weakness, sometimes we just have to say, God, I trust you in this. I'm going into this, and I am not prepared for it. I am not equipped for it. David was not prepared. David found a stone and a slingshot, and he was like, this is what I got. That guy's got like 400 pounds worth of armor and a lot of weapons. Like more, he's got like guns strapped to his side. Goliath was prepped. And David's like, I got what I got. God said to do this. I trust that he's going to just help me out. And that's the ultimate of overwhelmed and God overcome situation. But it's so true. So, if I can close you guys with one thing, though, before we jump into announcements and stuff here, because I'm running a little late. It's, what are you overwhelmed with in life that you need to let God help you overcome? What are you overwhelmed with in life that you need to help God, let God help you overcome? Okay, let me close you guys out with that. Let me pray for you guys, and then we'll jump into announcements, okay? Father God, I just thank you for who you are. I thank you for your love and your mercy, and I thank you that you are the God of angel armies, and you are the God of our circumstances. You are the God of this universe, and there is nothing beyond your control, beyond your power, beyond your wisdom, beyond your vision, beyond your knowledge. Nothing escapes you, God. And I thank you for that. And I pray that in our limited understanding, in our limited view, when we think that we are just overwhelmed, when we think that we just can't make it, when we think that we are worthless, when we think that we can't do it, that we should just give up, God, I pray that you would just impart upon us your love, that you would just comfort us in knowing that you are God of all things. And in no way and at no time do you ever leave us without your love and your strength. And I pray that in those times that we are tested, in those times that we are stretched like Job was stretched, I pray that you would show us like you showed Job that you love us no matter what, that we would stay steadfast, and that you would build in us those characteristics that draw us closer to you, that help us shine your light a little bit brighter, a little bit clearer. I pray that today. I thank you again for who you are, God, and I pray that you would just pour out your love and mercy on us today. I pray these things in your holy name. Amen.